your source for everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and welcome to The Journey radio show. This is an exciting night for me. I've been really looking forward to the show. Of course, anytime we're talking about Bigfoot or any kind of cryptid, I'm going to have my fellow She-Squatcher on. Hey, Jenna Grover, are you there?
I am here, and I'm very, very happy and excited about tonight.
Me too. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. He knows a lot about lizard men, and I'm really excited to learn more about lizard men because I've kind of held back looking it up, waiting to hear from the expert over here, because he just put out a brand new book that has, it's about lizard men. And it's co-authored with Matthew Delft, who we had on before, our friend Matthew. So we know it's going to be good already. I can't wait to see it. And it just came out this week. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. He's an author, Dr. John Stamey. And he is has an extensive background in the supernatural and paranormal, having spent 3 years as a research associate with the Rhine Institute of Parapsychology and being on the board of directors for 1 year. He worked as a professor from 1997 to 2012 when he chose to explore a different career path. Dr. Stamey is now the executive director of numerous Bigfoot, Lizardman, and Comic-Con events. He also heads up some interesting podcasts, and you can find him online at the TennesseeBigfootConference.com, BigfootDay.com, LizardmanFestival.com, yes. ComicConStars.com, and ScaryCast.com. Is that a lot to take in? I think so. But without further ado, I think we should bring Dr. John Stamey on. Hey, John, are you there?
I am here, and thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
We are thrilled to have you on the show with us tonight. So thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. We're just excited. Congratulations on releasing your brand new book, Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends.
Thank you. I know the title sounds like something out of a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood, but it's like, how do you group this cast of characters? You've got Bigfoot, you've got Lizard Man, you've got the Mothman, who's one of my favorites, you've got ghosts, and you've got space aliens. Well, they're all friends, I think. Sounds crazy, but I really think they're all Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. He's one of my very good friends. He always says, John, I know you're hanging out there in Pauly's Island and you got Lizard Man and Bigfoot with you because I see the Mothman out here. He's always giving me a fit about that. So, yep.
That's awesome. I have a tendency to think that they're all hanging out together sometimes too. When I'm remote viewing and looking at locations, I often see different kinds of beings together when I'm doing remote viewing. So I think that there is a connection there. And I was just on, I was just being interviewed on a different show, Ninja of the Woods. Jenna and I were on there with Jimmy Blanton. That's Jimmy Blanton's show. And he had on another, his co-host for the night was Arla Collette. Is it Williams?
Wow.
And I was impressed because she obviously understood a lot of that stuff. And I was pleasantly surprised to connect with her.
Jen, yeah. I was so excited to talk to her. It was like, oh, I'm so excited. I hope she's a friend for a long time. So,
but we got into talking about some of those more out there topics that a lot of times people don't really get. And she was saying that they are like neighbors and friends. So she was, you know, in alignment with your title of your book, Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends. So I can't wait to hear more about that. And to be honest, I don't know very much about Lizard Man, and I can't wait to hear all about him.
You got it. Well, would you like for me to begin?
Yes,
please. Start at the very beginning, the only place to start. It was 1988 in Bishopville, South Carolina, which is right between Columbia, South Carolina, the capital of the state, and Florence, South Carolina, another top 10 city. Bishopville was a very quiet little town. Lee County is one of the smallest counties in terms of population in the state. And nothing much really goes on or went on in Bishopville until this young boy got a flat tire on this road that went through Scape or Swamp. I'll say it a little quicker, but it's Scape or Swamp. So he worked at McDonald's. So he got out and he changed his tire. He was putting his tire iron and his temporary jack in his trunk. And all of a sudden, behind him, walking up the road where he was on, which was in Scape or Swamp, was this thing. And he called out to it like, "Who are you? What's this?" And he started hearing a growl. And this boy became absolutely petrified. He jumped in his car. It wouldn't turn over, of course. He kept on, and then he felt pounding on his trunk. He finally got the car started. He raced to his parents' house. He got there. It was probably about 1 a.m. He was frightened beyond bounds. And he didn't know what he had seen, but he didn't like it, and he knew something had been coming after him. So his parents called the police, and of course, you know, you got a 17-year-old kid saying something's chasing him in the swamp. They said, "Well, we'll be out there tomorrow," and which is, in a way, not unreasonable. I mean, because the kid's at home, he's not going to be hurt now. So the next morning, they go out, and his car has been completely torn up. The front grill has been disfigured. There are scratches all over the car. I mean, it's a mess. The kid's still frightened beyond bound. So the sheriff gets there, Sheriff Truesdale, and he interviews the kid about what happened. And he was told the story about exactly what I just told you. So sheriff didn't, you know, he thought, well, whatever, it's a 17-year-old kid. There's no telling what he's been doing or whatever. Until a couple weeks later, someone else had the same experience. And this experience of being terrorized by what I would legitimately call a cryptid continued sporadically. You know, every couple of weeks, somebody would see it. Well, the stories went through the wire, because in 1988, we had wire services. You know, we didn't have the internet. But the stories went through the wire services like mad. All of a sudden, Bishopville was the hottest little town on the map. It got so hot and so crazy, they were having signs, "Get your Lizard Man paraphernalia and souvenirs here." There was the Cottonland restaurant. It was just a diner. That became kind of the official Lizard Man headquarters. They had T-shirts. They had maps where the Lizard Man had been seen. It was a lot of fun, but it was frightening in a way because people didn't really know what it was. At the height of the popularity, at the end of the summer in 1988, ABC's Good Morning America did a full morning show live from Bishopville, South Carolina. And it was all over the news every time there was a Lizard Man sighting. I think I'm looking at Lyle Blackburn's book, Lizard Man, True Story of the Monster of Bishopville. It's a very entertaining book. And as I look at it, there are maybe less than 12 real sightings. But some of the sightings, not much to them. Some of them very, very detailed. Especially one where, and someone said, "Oh, well, it's someone impersonating the Lizard Man." Okay, there might have been a couple. where Lizard Man was impersonated. We don't know. But I'll tell you what, the one where the thing jumped out on the road right in front of a car doing 45 miles an hour, and that lady had to screech off the side of the road to avoid hitting this thing, that no human being is going to go that far in playing a joke. Because I don't know about you, but I know I'm going to want to stay alive till tomorrow. So while there might have been a few incidences that it might have been a hoax by somebody in town, there is enough evidence, in my opinion, reading Lyle's book and talking to people in Bishopville, that something happened. There was some type of cryptid or some entity that was there for about a year and a half. And it kind of went away. The sightings kind of went away as quickly as they came about. The last sighting was in 1989. A lady had just taken her kids to a drive-in restaurant, and they were driving back from Bishopville to Sumter, South Carolina, a sizable little town where they lived. And so they're driving along the road, and all of a sudden, about 100 feet in front of them, this thing comes walking out. And, he's not about to move. Well, she is petrified. She slows down to try to get around him, and then he starts banging on the car door trying to get in. And she said it was with a lot of force, not like someone trying to play a joke. I mean, this thing was dead serious about trying to get into them in the car, and she sped off. And that was about the last. Now, that was the last known sighting that we have in Bishopville, South Carolina. I will say that when I was at a Comic-Con, Carolina Fan Expo in Hickory, I had my Lizard Man banner out on the table. And a nice fella, I know him because he and his wife are at a lot of Comic-Cons. She's a cosplayer. She loves cosplaying. And so he comes to take care of the kid and watch her have fun. So he looked at that banner and he started asking me, why are you interested in the Lizard Man? And I told him, writing a book and all this. And I just love the tale of the Lizard Man. So, Jen and Jenna, sometimes there are things you just get attached to, aren't they?
Definitely.
Yeah, and I like Lizard Man, and I like Mothman. So anyway, he started hinting around. He said, I know some people that I think have seen this thing. Well, about a half hour later, it was his story. And it was from 1999, and it was in Chester, South Carolina. So in the book, I have what I believe to be the latest Lizard Man story. It has not been published anywhere else, and I'm very proud of having that story. The gentleman in question and his wife and his kid have turned out to be very good friends of mine. And I'm just glad that he felt like he could tell me the story. And I put it in the book, and it was kind of I had Matthew Delf's story about the Indiana Bigfoot sighting. That was the crowning achievement of the book. But then when I get a Lizard Man story, because I will admit that there are a number of Bigfoot sightings, and legitimate sightings every year. But we just haven't had a Bigfoot sighting in 10 years since 89 until 99, until we got this story. So I'm very proud of both of those two stories that people can read and enjoy in the book.
Wow, I can't wait to see it. Is this coming out in paperback as well?
It is out in paperback and in Kindle. And what I will do, because you two ladies are so nice, I'm going to get an address. I've got my stash coming, and I'll send you to a copy of the book. I'll get Matt to autograph it. I'll autograph it, and we will, as they say in Green Acres, we'll shoost them up to you.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Thank you so much. Now, are you going to run that by Matthew, make sure that it's good with it?
He'll be fine with it.
I'm teasing. He will be. Both of you guys are great. Thank you.
We'll be glad to do it. Sure, absolutely.
That is so awesome. Thank you, Dr. John. I have to tell you really quick. Sure. We've got Papa Stroh in the chat room giving his support to you. And how exciting. Can you tell us about Papa Stroh for the listeners who are out there?
I sure can. Let's see. It was almost 2 years ago. And I was at Cody, who's my caricature artist, and I were at the Tidewater Comic-Con in Virginia Beach. And some fellow came down and said, Jake the Snake Roberts is up there. Why don't you go meet him? I said, well, sure. because I was I announced for the Professional Wrestling Federation in Charlotte for about 3 years. That was the Italian Stallions promotion. I loved announcing wrestling, loved wrestling, loved it ever since I was 8 years old. So went up there and saw Jake the Snake Roberts and talked with him, and it was good to – I didn't know him, but we knew a lot of the same people. So I came back. This fellow came back to me and said, "You didn't talk to Papa Stroh." I said, "I didn't see him." He said, "Oh, I guess he was away from his booth walking around." So I went back up there. I started talking with Papa Stroh, Rob Kellum. He has turned out to – well, we haven't stopped since, okay? We talk all the time. He is really a wonderful person. He's a great, great wrestler. He was a big star at Smoky Mountain NWA. He was trained by Ole and Gene Anderson, Ivan Koloff, Nelson Royal. I mean, some of the greats in all of wrestling trained him. He is the grandnephew of Gorgeous George, the man who I claim invented wrestling because he invented the idea of the heel or the bad guy. And he also invented the story. He was the beginning of the invention of the storyline. So Papa Stroh has got a wonderful legacy. He's an incredible wrestler. And he is, I'm proud to say, he's the star of my Comic-Cons. If he can schedule to be there, I'll have him as the star. He's very popular with people. Lots of people come in and say, "Well, I came here just to see you." And it's a lot of fun. He's a really genuine guy. He does a lot of great work for charity. Oh, my goodness, you should see him in the ring. He can tear it up. He can tear it up just as well as anybody. And I really appreciate the fact that Papa Stroh came in the chat room. Hey, Papa Stroh, thanks a lot, buddy.
I was going to shout out Papa Stroh.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, he just said in the chat room, he's doing great. And he's starring in the new Supernatural series called The Dusk as the Chief. And so it looks like there's a Facebook page for this at facebook.com/dusk series. So we'll have to go make sure to check that out, everybody. Check it out. Mm-hmm. And he has an official website, which is www.thestro.com.
You got it.
Awesome. Got it. So exciting when we have special guests just pop up in the chat room too. That's always exciting stuff. So
now he will be at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference.
Oh, so we get to meet him?
You'll get to meet him, and you'll get to meet Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant.
Oh, my goodness sakes, I'm excited.
Oh, look at her. Look at her boogieing already.
I am. I can't stop.
They're great guys. Can't wait to see Papa Stroh. Well, let's see. I get to see him this weekend at the Camden, South Carolina Comic-Con. But we'll all be up there at Tennessee Bigfoot. I've got some other friends that I'm trying to convince to get up there. We got, you know, some great people. We've got, of course, the She Squatchers. We'll have the two of you. We'll have Matthew Delf and Sam DeLoach, which is MICRO, Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization. We'll have Zach Sterrett, who's a Bigfoot researcher. And we've got a couple. I've got a list here. I cheated. Have you ever cheated?
Well, with a note maybe on notes for the show, yes.
I've got my list of people. We will have John Dixon from Tennessee MUFON, and so that's who we've got so far. Matthew is also looking into several other Bigfoot researchers, so we're going to have a crowd there. This is at Bays Mountain Park. The city of Kingsport has a park on top of a mountain. It is absolutely beautiful. It's 8 miles from downtown. Once you get in there, you drive straight to the top of the mountain. You go to the Farmstead Museum, and there we are all nestled back in there in this 6,000-square-foot facility, and we just have a blast.
Wow, that's I'm so excited to come out to Tennessee. I'm trying to remember if I've ever even stepped foot into Tennessee before, and I'm not sure. I know I encountered the Chattahoochee. Is that in Tennessee?
Yes, it is. It's in that Chattahoochee, I believe, is in Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama. I think.
Yes. Now,
if my geography is wrong, don't yell at me. Okay.
I actually, I was going to say, I used to live about for maybe a little over a year in Nashville, Tennessee with my cousin, and I was even able to sing. Have you ever heard of the little bar called Tootsie's?
Oh, yes.
I sang there, and I also signed it. I couldn't believe it. It was wonderful. So I'm sorry, I had to put my piece of Tennessee in there.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it was exciting.
We love Nashville. It's one of my favorite places. I've got some friends from there, and hopefully some of my Nashville friends will be coming to Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. I've invited them, and I hope that they can make it down. So it would be a lot of fun for them to meet you and Papa Stro and Matthew and the whole crowd.
Well, you make sure to introduce us to everyone, because I'll be arms and hands open.
You got it.
I'm just going to warn you, she's a hugger.
Well, I am.
We're all huggers, actually. This whole crowd, we're just going to have a good time. And we are going to have a reception on Friday night where people can come talk to the speakers and everything. And that will be down in the city of Kingsport. So that'll be a great time for everyone to get to meet the She Squatchers and Matthew and the whole crowd.
Matthew Delph is in the chat room right now.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matthew. Congratulations on releasing the new book with Dr. John. Congratulations. I was just nana-booing to Jenna, telling her that Matthew's offered to take me squatching when I'm in Virginia in a couple weeks for the premiere of the Cultured Bigfoot documentary. He's going to be leading an expedition out that night, so he won't be able to attend the event, but he's going to be nearby, so when it's all said and done, I'm probably going to hit the woods and see some Virginia Bigfoot. I'm so excited.
And all right, now,
jealous.
All right, now can I tell you the difference between the Lizard Man crowd and the Bigfoot crowd? Are you ready?
Definitely.
Okay, the Lizard Man crowd, we have got a group of professional wrestlers from upstate South Carolina called the Legends, and that is Chuck Sloan, Buckshot Carter, Brett the Crippler Watson, and his manager, the lovely Mickey May. They are managed, of course, by our buddy and fellow Comic-Con star, Greg Bo Watson. So what we're going to do on Sunday of the Lizard Man Festival, and we want Papa Stro to come with us. I haven't gotten a confirmation, but I'm hoping he'll be with us. We're going out into the swamp. And we're going to have our mudders on, and we're going to be sloshing around the swamp looking for Lizard Man. So that's what we do.
That sounds incredible. Are we invited?
Come on. We'll talk.
To the Lizard Man Festival.
It should be a lot of fun. Yeah, absolutely. In a nutshell, let me tell everybody what it is. Is that okay?
Yes.
The Lizard Man Festival on Friday at around 7:30 p.m., Lyle Blackburn will be there to give a talk about the Lizard Man from his book and from his experience. And then Matt Delph, and I believe Sam will be there from Micro. We're going to have a couple of other folks down there. They're going to do a big panel discussion. And hopefully Papa Stro and Greg Bo will be helping to moderate that whole bunch. I'll hopefully be in there too. I'll let them moderate so that I can get my 2 cents worth in about the Mothman. But then on Saturday, we're going to have a Comic-Con indoors. We're going to have a street festival outdoors. We're going to have paranormal talks all day and a chili cookout that night. So you can just have a blast all day long. You can get full. You can have your paranormal, get your paranormal on, get your Comic-Con on, and get your festival on. And then Sunday, the plan is whoever wants to go with us out to the swamp, we're going to the swamp.
Nice. Oh, man, if I can go, I will definitely go. I don't know if I can, because we're going to be traveling so much this year. We've gotten so many opportunities that are just big for us this year. So maybe I'll be able to come.
We will talk.
And definitely.
Always glad to have the She Squatchers. I think it'd be great.
Oh, love that. Let's see the date on that's the Lizard Man is June 8th through 10th, right?
That's right. June 8th is basically Lyle's talk that night. And Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant will be there on Friday. The star and Papa Stro and Greg Bo, stars will be there Friday. Then we'll have the talk. Then Saturday's the Comic-Con, the street festival, and the talks.
Oh, wow. So exciting. So do people show up in cosplay too?
They better. They absolutely better. Now, Ronald Rossman is our buddy in Charlotte. And he's the executive producer and director and writer of Dusk. Ron is also a master cosplayer, and he is about the best Batman you've ever seen, and he has a troop of cosplayers. A number of them are also in Dusk, so hopefully they will be down there hanging around as Batman and whoever. We've got a couple people. Oh, Bill Stein, who's a marvelous makeup artist in Wilmington, he is actually designing the Lizard Man costume. He was He's worked in Hollywood. He's worked on a number of horror films. So we've got Bill Stein, one of the best makeup artists I know. He's actually designing the full latex rubber lizard man getup to terrorize the festival. And so it'll be great. We got a lot of good people coming.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like such fun. Here's me already thinking, gee, what could we dress up for cosplay? But you know what? I guess we have to be ourselves as the Sheep Watchers.
I was thinking the same thing, Jen.
What you need to do, just wear a t-shirt with that great She Squatcher logo on it. That's what you need to do.
We need to be ourselves. Dang it.
That's right.
Oh, for fun.
That's awesome.
But I also exciting, one of our listeners, a regular listener, Fred in the chat room, says that he lives in Tennessee and it's a high possibility that he's going to come out and meet us, Jenna.
Oh my goodness, Fred, I can't wait to meet you. Hopefully you will go.
Oh, yes, I hope so. Yes, come and meet us. Well, hey, we'll introduce you to everybody there because we'll know them all in person by then.
I think that's what he wants. No, I'm kidding.
Just warning you, Fred, Jenna's a hugger.
I'm a hugger, I am. It's a good thing to be.
I'm a hugger, too. I just like to put her out there in the front. Anyway.
Well, we should probably start listening a little bit more about you now.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just got so excited about everything that's going on in the chat room.
Me
and
too.
The new book and the Lizard Man Festival and Lyle Blackburn and Papa Stroh. Everybody is just, the chat room's just going off. So I'm excited and I can't contain myself. So help me out here, Dr. John.
Sure.
What else do you have to share with us? We've got a few more minutes till we have to take our mandatory half the show break. So we have just a few minutes before then.
Okay, let me get my cheat sheet out. Let me tell you about the new book coming up. This comes back from my days of being a college professor and, you know, being trained at North Carolina State University. Now, some people would say, why would you move from PhD research to writing a book about Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends? It's because I like it. I like stories about this. I grew up, this is all we had. We had monster movies and wrestling when I was a kid. That's all I ever knew. I was pre-internet generation, so I really loved it. So my next book is called Science Behind the Paranormal. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a number of things that have come up, like the Bible Code, the Rendlesham Forest Code, and I'm going to examine them, no fault, no anything, no good or bad. I'm going to examine them as a scientist would and say, well, this is what they say, well, this is what they really mean, or this is the extent of what we can do. So no judgments or anything. I don't like to judge. I like to examine the facts the way they are, because it's amazing when you truly examine the facts. You can find out some amazing things. Right now, I'm involved in looking at a news event from a number of years back. It was a car wreck. And what I'm finding out is that every single statement in every single newspaper article is incorrect if you simply drive to the accident site on the interstate. And me and a group of us, are trying to figure out what really happened. And is there some type of unusual explanation for the unusual events? And you know what, Jen, you know what I mean by an unusual explanation, right?
Oh, yes.
That's exactly right. And I've talked to a number of people. I've talked to Greg Bo Watson. I've talked to some of the legends. I've got to talk to Papa Stroh this weekend. I got to get my group together. But I want to show them the facts, show them the pictures, and I want to say, all right, help me come up with an explanation, because it's a little bit unusual. So I've done some work, and you know, when you can get to do some research like that, and it may border into unusual things, like I like to call them, it's a lot of fun. Now, who knows, there may be a very logical explanation, but we'll see. So that's going to be the book. It's all about science and the paranormal. I'm going to talk about EVPs. What the heck is that? I've got a little training. I've got a license in amateur radio, so I know a little bit about wavelengths and frequencies. So we're going to talk about that. And I was just real quickly, do I have 1 minute before we have to break?
Sure.
Okay. When I was actually, this is terrible. I'm the guy that stays up all night before the test, you know. So my doctoral dissertation defense was on Tuesday. And so Monday night, I'm out in a graveyard with the head of the Kentucky Ghost Hunters. Of course. We're out till 2 in the morning. So, and then he comes back. He says, by the way, John, I tape recorded our entire tour through All Saints graveyard. I said, wow, that's great. So about 4:30 in the morning, he's banging on I'm dead asleep, you know, because I have to get up at 5:30 to drive to Raleigh to defend my dissertation. And he'd been up on all this equipment that he brought into my house. Said, you would not believe what I just found. I said, it better be good, because I'm up now. I'm not going to get any more sleep. So he takes me in my studio, at my office, and he says, I slowed the tape down. It was an hour long, and he said, I've been listening and listening and listening for 3 hours. And he showed me a point where I heard a little girl's voice, unmistakable, say, talk to me. Please,
oh, wow,
talk to me. Well, obviously, I was not going back to sleep. I made some coffee. But you talk about frightening. And that was, it was for real. He didn't make it up, because what he did.
Hey, Dr. John.
Yep.
You've gone over that minute. We have to go to our commercial break. Bye. We're gonna do it to be continued. Wait, hang on to that thought, and we'll be right back in 2 minutes.
You got it.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
I'm Jenna Valadez with the Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers, all of this and more, Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
For the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and of course I've got Jenna Grover, and we are the She Squatchers. You can find us online at shesquatchers.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/SheSquatchersOfficial. Remember, She Squatchers Official is also how you can find our YouTube channel, so please do check us out there and give us a like on Facebook, would you? Hey, and this is the Journey Radio Show. You can find us online. All past episodes are archived there at thejourneyradioshow.com and facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. Please give us a like and follow our upcoming events. All shows are archived in the events, so they're really awesome, important guests to us. Next week, we have Daniel Benoit from ECBRO, and we're excited to talk about Bigfoot with him. So, you know us, we like Bigfoot, Bigfoot, Bigfoot all the time, and now we're also about the Lizard Man. We've got Dr. John Stamey on the line with us. We're really excited to have him, and he just put out a brand new book this week. It's called Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends. You can find it at, where can we find it, Dr. John?
You can find it on go to comicconstars.com, and right there on the right, you'll see a picture of the cover, and just click, and it'll tell you where to go to Amazon. You can also find it at TennesseeBigfootConference.com. You can also find it at, if I get my grammar correct, you can also find it at LizardManFestival.com. So it's just on the side there, and you can go find it and take a preview and hopefully order it, and it'll be a lot of fun. Or see us at an event. Maybe in about 3 weeks I'll have my stash of books, and we'll have them out there. And in 3 weeks I'll mail a couple of copies to you nice ladies.
Woohoo! Wow, I'm so excited to receive that and have a look at it. Whoop, whoop. That's, we got to do a little whoop.
Exactly.
I tell you what, these cryptid events are my absolute favorite of all the different events that we've been to. We've been to Paracons, quite a few different ones, and now we've been doing more Bigfoot events. And I got to tell you, I love Monster Hunters. They are my favorite people ever. How about you, Jenna?
Oh my gosh, I didn't want to interrupt you. Oh, I totally agree. Okay, the people that we have met have all been so real, so down to earth. I'm in awe of how much fun I actually do have talking to these people. I mean, they give their time freely, openly. You know, they're friendly. So, yeah, I love people that are monster hunters.
Right.
And right. I love everybody, but, you know, they're especially great.
That's awesome. Well, as you know, Dr. John, one of our regular listeners was just about coming out of his seat hearing that we were going to be talking about Lizard Man on the show with you tonight. And he wanted me to ask you about Chibolton Man. And if you could tell us if you know anything about the Chibolton Man, if there's a connection to the cryptid Lizard Man.
I do not. I'm going to plead the fifth because I do not know.
Okay.
Now, I had heard that somebody might be interested to find out if we thought that Lizard Man might be a space alien. I heard that someone might be interested in that.
Yes.
And what I'd like to do is I would like to use that as an opportunity to make a 90-degree turn here in the road. Is that okay?
That's, hey, it's, you've got the wheel. Let's go.
Okay. Here's the deal. First of all, for Bigfoot, there have been thousands of sightings all over the world. So we're pretty clear that there is there's a flesh and blood thing out there that is sometimes not happy with us. I mean, he's not like a cartoon character. He doesn't, you know, jump around and play jump rope and all that. He's apparently not very happy when humans come around him. So that's fine. We have a pretty good feeling that something's there. At least a lot of us do. Now, when you think about the Lizard Man, there are about 12 or 13 sightings that Lyle Blackburn reports on in his book, and we've got one more. So there is enough physical damage that regardless of what Lizard Man is, whether it is a cryptid or occasionally there might have been somebody who was trying to play a trick on somebody, we have a good feeling that there is an entity out there as Lizard Man, and it's pretty much scales, bones, and blood, probably. Pretty tough scales, bones, and blood, because if it's a reptile, you know, reptiles don't have anything but muscle. It's a tough, tough guy. It's about 8 feet tall. But then the question is Lizard Man an alien? We don't, and I did a little bit of looking. We really have no evidence that Lizard Man is an alien or a supernatural creature. About all, we have a reasonable idea that between 88 and 89 and in 1999, something was actually seen by people that looked fairly real. It looked pretty much of this earth. So we haven't seen a UFO land and Lizard Man come out, so we really don't know. However, this leads us to my other favorite topic, along with Lizard Man and Bigfoot. And would any of you happen to know what my other favorite topic is?
Oh boy, Bigfoot. Let's see.
Lizard Man, Bigfoot. It is. You ready? It is the Mothman.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I absolutely think the Mothman's great. I think the Mothman is absolutely interdimensional. I believe Mothman is not of this earth. I believe Mothman comes and goes. Whereas Bigfoot and Lizard Man can be quite adversarial. I think that Mothman is a good guy. Now, he was all around Point Pleasant, West Virginia, creating a stir saying, disaster on the Ohio. Well, he did his best to warn people. And it happened. Now, I was fortunate. I did an interview. It didn't make it into this book. It will make it into the next book by a very nice lady who, when she was 8 years old, her parents were traveling ministers. This was back in 1968. And they would go from town to town preaching and all this. And they made a living on donations. And she said that they were coming from West Virginia over the Ohio River to get back to their home. And I'm sorry, they were coming from Ohio over the bridge, over the Ohio River, the Silver Bridge, into West Virginia to get back to their home. And as soon as they got across the bridge, her dad, she was in the back seat kind of dozing off. He slammed on the brakes. He said, oh, my goodness. And he told his wife to put your daughter's head down. And he jumped out of the car, and they heard this loud popping and cracking. And that was the sound of the Silver Bridge collapsing. The collapse took all of 30 seconds, probably less. And it was an absolute disaster. About close to 50 people got killed, just as had been predicted by the Mothman. So it was very interesting. The Mothman, people are afraid of him from what we understand. He's got red eyes, two big wings, and he's 8 feet tall, and he looks pretty scary. Looks scarier than Dracula would. But the Mothman seems to be around at times when disasters are going to happen, and seems to try to foretell things. Now, I've got a really interesting story about the Mothman. I was teaching at a university, and I happened to be teaching a spreadsheet class. And it was the beginning of the fall semester, and some kid came to my office and said, you know, look, I'm having problems with everything. I said, well, that's okay. Look, it's early. I'll be glad to, you know, help you a little bit and try to get you straightened out. So the first thing you do with a brand new student, a freshman, who's scared to death of professors anyway, is say, all right, so tell me a little bit about yourself. So where are you from? He said, I'm from Point Pleasant, West Virginia. I said, oh. That much silence went by, and he said, you know, don't you? I said, yeah, I know that the movie's coming out pretty soon. He said, how did you know? I said, well, I just like this stuff. So we had a talk, and he said, you know, in the book, there is a couple that is making out in a car on the football field, and all of a sudden, they see the Mothman. I said, yeah, I remember that part very well. He said, those were my parents.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so you're kidding. He said, no, I'm not kidding. And, you know, when someone looks at you straight in the eye, you can tell a lot of times if they're telling the truth. And so I felt like he was telling the truth. As fantastical, that's a great word, as fantastical as it could be, I felt like he was telling the truth. So anyway, he came to a few more classes, then he kind of drifted away, and I said, well, whatever. So then was homecoming weekend. It was Friday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, and I was in my office. And there was a knock on my office door. And I turned around, and it was cracked, and I opened it up, and there was a fella. And these two very nice people, they were obviously his parents. And so he introduced me to him, and he said, well, this is Mr. Stamey, and he's very interested in the Mothman. So his mother opened up her pocketbook and handed me a first edition, torn up, but a first edition wrapped in rubber bands copy of The Mothman Prophecies by John Keel. And she looked at me, she looked straight in my face and said, you know, I was cleaning up the other day and I found this. And our son had told us how he was very interested in the Mothman, how you were interested in the Mothman. I said, well, I certainly am. She said, well, I'd rather you have this than me. I don't want anything about that thing in my house. Now, I don't know about you, but that, bringing parents to my office after he's dropped my class, was not any kind of way to try to coerce a grade out of this class. And to have a woman who looks as nice and normal as the two of you tell me, I just don't want anything about this in my house. Had a huge ring of the truth to it.
You call this normal. That's so sweet. I'm kidding.
You're like nice people. Come on. But you know what I mean? In other words, these people, they were no-nonsense people. They lived up in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. They both clearly, you know, they're substantial. They could send their kid to an out-of-state school and pay for him. And so it was very interesting that they confirmed that something happened up there to me.
And you must have been so, like, feeling so complimented that he did come back to you.
Well, I was stunned. I didn't know how to feel complimented there. I was trying to just, you know, keep my head about me. And I mean, of course, I wanted the book, still got it, but I read it, and it was a wonderful, wonderful book, but it was just nuts. And it's very interesting. It's one of the few times I've ever met someone other than Matt Delf who's really had an intervention. Now, I've had a couple. They're, you know, not talking about those. Well, we'll talk about that one. That's one of them. But it was really neat talking to someone who I believe had actually seen something. I didn't ask him any questions. It wasn't going to be appropriate. Sometimes I'll err on the side of caution. If someone's really uncomfortable and wants to get away from a situation, I don't want to hammer on them and ask them questions because they don't like it. And I'd rather they like me instead of myself try to be real hardline with them and make an enemy. It's just a lot better to part friends because I've gotten enough stories from people. So that's my Mothman story. I think the Mothman's great. As we know, there are a lot of sightings of the Mothman up in Chicago right now. I spoke with a fellow who's collecting the data. He said, well, what you see online is not near what all we've got. Hopefully he will come on podcast sometime and talk about things. We're very concerned so many sightings of the Mothman up there right now. I had a Bigfoot hunter talk to me about actually seeing what he believed to be the Mothman. He and his girlfriend saw it. I want to talk to her. I want to get a corroborating story from her and just see what she says. So we'll see, and maybe that one will go in my next book as well, and another book as well. But these stories are fun. They're fascinating. They're part of pop culture. They're part of the human psyche. And I think we need to write them down. I don't think we need to forget them.
I agree, and thank you for doing that. That's going to be a really exciting read.
Well, it's fun. It's fun. Awesome. I hope it's not too boring. It's just the stories as they've been told to me, and so I hope people enjoy it. I hope they enjoy the Mothman Festival. The Lizardman Festival. I hope they enjoy Tennessee Bigfoot Celebration, which is also called Bigfoot Day. We've got Charlotte CryptoCon, which is basically a paranormal con in Charlotte on October the 7th, that will be starring Papa Stroh, Greg Bo Watson. Right, by the way, Greg Bo is the artist that did the Lizard Man drawing that everyone's going to see. So it's wonderful. He's another one of our Comic-Con Stars hosts. Great guy. He's an artist from Easley, South Carolina. And his son is one of the legends from that area, one of the wrestlers. So we're all kind of tied in. It's fun working with your friends and doing some crazy but good things. It just is. And now we've got two more friends. We can do crazy good things at Tennessee Bigfoot Celebration. We're going to do lots of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
And you know, we're on the 20th. Do you know how the Bigfoot Day started? Have I told you about this?
I would love to hear it.
Okay, here's what happened. Okay, so I've got Darth Bill. We call him Darth Bill, but his name's Bill Lancaster. He's got a film called Cultured Bigfoot. So we have him on Comic-Con Stars. And so I press my luck. And I have him on 2 weeks in a row. We're talking. We're having a great time. So the second Thursday night, we're talking to him. He talks about how October 20th, in 2 months, is the 50th anniversary of the Patterson-Gimlin footage of Bigfoot. And I said, well, we need to celebrate that. Okay? So while we're talking, and there's, you know, Bob Stroh and Greg Bowe and Dave Atwell, they're talking to him. So I go online and I register BigfootDay.com. So at the end of the show, I said, I would like to announce. Now, obviously, I had lost my mind. We have 7.5 weeks. I said, I would like to announce Bigfoot Day celebration in Kingsport, Tennessee, and that will be on October 20th and the 21st. Now, what possessed me to do that? I had no idea why I said Kingsport. I had no idea if I could find a venue or anything. So I announced it. So the next morning, I woke up and I said, ooh, this is great. So I started calling around, and I talked to the folks at Bays Mountain Park in Kingsport. They were all for it. They were thrilled. They said, well, this could help tourism here in town and bring more people into our park, because that's how we make the only revenue we've got is people paying $5 per carload as they come in. I said, well, great. I'm glad you like it. So then I had to get some people. Of course, Papa Stroh said he would come. Then Bill Lancaster introduced me to Sam DeLoach, and then Sam had Matt Delf and the whole crowd. And so I said, would you guys come up and be our speakers, and we'll have talks on Friday and Saturday, and then you can go, and we'll have a Comic-Con Saturday and Sunday? They said yes. So then I had 5 weeks, and I had to get 25 vendors for a Comic-Con. So magically they appeared, one by one, and we had the Bigfoot Day celebration. It turned out to be a success. Now, on the 20th, which was Friday, Sam brought in a big cookie for Bigfoot's birthday. So now this year, we're having a cake on Saturday, because that Saturday will be the 20th, and it will be the 51st anniversary. So that's how Bigfoot Day got started. It was like, I obviously lost my mind, then I had to make good on a promise.
Awesome. He just said we're going to get to have cake, Jenna.
I know. I didn't want to interrupt. I'm so excited.
And also, we'll also have ice cream, too, okay?
Oh,
it just keeps
I won't do that.
Better.
Oh, man. You had just us at hello. We can share our cake.
You got it. Have a big sheet cake, and we'll get it from a good bakery. So it'll be all butter. So that's great.
So now, who was it? Was it someone was asking, oh, Papa Stroh said he tried dressing up as Bigfoot once, but he ended up looking like Chewbacca. What was that about?
I don't know. That's a story. I'm going to have to get that one out of him on Saturday when I see him.
Shoot, I was excited.
No, that's a pretty good story. Yeah. Now, I tell you what, that guy's got some stories, and this is the truth. We have this little game we play. He has wrestled everywhere, at least in the Carolinas, Georgia, Tennessee. And so whenever I can think of it, I always say, did you wrestle in so-and-so? And he always says, yeah, and let me tell you what happened that night. I mean, he's got like this photographic memory. And he said, then I asked him, I said, here's the acid test. Have you ever wrestled in Cordova, North Carolina? He said, you mean at that fire station? I said, yeah, inside that fire station garage, and the only thing it can fit in is the ring, and you can't get on the third turnbuckle because it's too short. The building's too short. He said, yes, that's the fire station I wrestled in. So I knew at that point he has wrestled everywhere, and I've probably announced most of the places he's wrestled. It was, my goodness, the thing was about 8 feet tall, and when you got a ring there and three turnbuckles, nobody can stand on that third turnbuckle, or they'll beat their head against the ceiling. So, but yeah, he's wrestled everywhere. He really has, and it's always fun. But he always immediately tells me the story, so I know it's true, you know. Without a blink of an eye. Ole and Gene Anderson, you wouldn't believe what they did to me and so-and-so. It was just, so it's great. So, yep, I'm going to have to ask him about it. He's got to come clean with the Chewbacca story now. That's going to be great.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. And then can he make the sound of Chewbacca? I want to know that. my goodness.
I bet you a dollar he can, so I'll let you know.
Here's the thing. Well, Jenna, I'm just in awe. We get to meet all these people when we go to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. And everybody else can come meet them, too. So you all have to come out and see us at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference in October. We will be there with Papa Stroh and Dr. John Stamey. And I bet you can see his new book there if you haven't already gotten it. But please do go out and get it right away, because I can't wait to read it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds great.
So exciting!
We're working on getting it out to everybody. So it will be a lot of fun. And I'm trying to think of anything else right off the top of my head that everybody would care to hear about.
Well, somebody had asked, but he's not in the chat room anymore, but he was wondering, how much does it cost to enter the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference?
Okay. It is $15 per day, so it'd be $30 for Friday and Saturday. But okay, if you do Friday and Saturday together, it would be $25, so you get a $5 discount.
Wow. And are there speakers both days?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll have speakers both days.
Nice. Yeah, I think we're on that list, Jenna, aren't we?
You will be.
I'm so excited.
That list will go up after Camden, after this weekend. No nice. Time, but yeah. That list goes up next week, along with a couple of so other lists. So, yeah, we'll all be there, and it'll be fun.
Exciting. Well, I'm excited to see your book, and I'm excited to see Matthew. You're the co-author of your book. In just a couple weeks, I'm going to go squatching with him in Virginia after the premiere of the Cultured Bigfoot documentary that Darth Bill put out, or Bill Lancaster. I'm actually in it, and so is Jenna. I'm not sure if you knew that.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I met Darth Bill through our friend Greg Bo Watson. Greg Bo is an artist extraordinaire. He's done work for Marvel. He's a lead artist for Zenoscope. And do you remember, it was about a year and a half ago, there were those X-Files TV commercials that had cartoons?
Yes.
That was Greg Bo. He did those.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He's talented.
He's really, really good. And he and Papa Stro and Dave Atwell, the author, and me, we're the moderators of Comic-Con Stars. And so, and Greg Bo is just such a great guy. And so what happened is Greg Bo is always at a Comic-Con. And so he'll call me up and he'll say, "Hey, John, it's real busy, but I got somebody you got to meet." And then he'll just like hand them the phone. And it's like, there's all this noise. This is Bill Lancaster. Who's this? I said, "Well, this is John, and I'm glad to meet you. What do you do?" He said, "Well, I'm doing a..." This was like the week after I had pre-announced this Bigfoot Day. And he said, "Well, I'm doing a documentary called Cultured Bigfoot." I said, "Oh, I need to talk to you because I'm doing the Bigfoot Day, and we need to have you up there." He said, "Well, Greg Bo said something about that. Let me give you my number." And so we talked next Monday, and the rest was history.
So he's going to be there too?
Okay, I have not spoken with him in 2 or 3 months, he's on my call list.
Awesome.
We're 8 months out, so he's on my call. He's, we're kind of putting this together. It's a little informal right now, but once Camden's over, I've got about 7 weeks without any events to try to get everything else put together for the rest of the year. So we will see if his schedule lends himself to being with us, which would be fun. And we'll have Matt and Sam and some other folks, and you too. So, and we'll want some great stories. I know you got some stories now, don't you?
Oh, our stories can get kind of out there. Are you ready for that?
In a good way. In a good way.
All right. Now I'm going to do something. If we have a little bit of time, I'm going to turn the tables on you. Tell me a story.
Oh, boy, I don't know if we have time for one of our stories, but I will tell you that the She-Squatchers, Jen and Jenna, we're not the only two. There's two more that kind of stay behind the scenes because they're still got children at home in Minnesota, so they don't hit the road as much as we do, but they are definitely an awesome field team with us when we go out into the field in our home state of Minnesota. So I always tell people we're the first Midwest first all-female Bigfoot team. However, we're not just women in the woods looking for Bigfoot. We're psychic women in the woods looking for Bigfoot. So that's our extra little twist on that. So we got psychics, intuitives, and native women. So we've got all those corners covered. And so it's quite round. We get it all the way around. So I feel very connected to the woods. I know Jenna does too. And Nikki Jourdain, she's our tribal member up at the Red Lake Band of Ojibwe Indians in northern Minnesota. My mom is also a member of that tribe.
All right.
So, yes. So we feel a little extra connected to Bigfoot. Bigfoot's got a very big connection with our tribe. So we've got that in our back pocket.
That's always good. Now, by the way, I've got one other short Bigfoot story. Can I tell you?
Well, we're less than a minute from the end of the show. We might have to have you come back on.
I'll save it for another time. How about that?
That sounds great. How about you tell us your websites again so people can find your awesome new book, Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends?
Okay, the thing to do, go to ComicConStars.com. That'll be the, you'll see it on the right, ComicConStars. And then our podcast is every Thursday night at 9 p.m.
And perfect. So
we'll see you on there hopefully soon. And thank you again very much.
Thank you, Dr. John Stamey. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jenna, for joining me. We are the She Squatchers. Check us out online, shesquatchers.com, and thejourneyradioshow.com. Good night, everyone. See you next week with Daniel Benoit from East Coast Bigfoot Research Organization. Check us out. Join the journey. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Take care.